And I hope right from the get-go that the Democrats do the right thing on each and every vote. I hope they'll remember who put them there and why. And remember that they're there for the good of this nation, for all the people, for the greater good.
This is the Quality News Network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid have written a letter to President Bush saying they do not support a troop surge in Iraq. Instead, they urged him to start withdrawing troops within 4 to 6 months. They also asked him to shift the focus of the mission from combat to training, as had been recommended by the Iraq Study Group. President Bush is still working on his new Iraq strategy. One of the options he is considering is a boost in U.S. troops to Iraq to help secure Baghdad. In its second day of Democratic control, the House voted overwhelmingly to change budget rules that permitted the deficits to grow in the past. The reinstated pay-as-you-go rule would require government spending cuts or tax increases to pay for increases in entitlement programs. The House also overwhelmingly passed a ban on earmarks or anonymous pet spending projects. Sponsors of the items will now have to be publicly identified. The House also passed lobbying reform legislation that prohibits lawmakers from accepting meals and gifts from lobbyists or flying on corporate jets. Some job changes in the Bush administration today. The president named retired Vice Admiral Mike McConnell to take John Negroponte's place as the National Intelligence Director. Negroponte will go to the State Department to be Condoleezza Rice's deputy. A Republican congresswoman said that half of the high-value al-Qaeda targets caught in Iraq have been released. She accused the U.S. military of running a, quote, catch-and-release program. In Baghdad, a prominent Sunni Arab group, the Association of Muslim Scholars, accused officials in the Shiite-led government of having links to Shiite militias, which are involved with sectarian violence. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to travel to the Middle East later this month to revolve the stalled peace process. President Bush will ask Congress for $83 million to support the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas. The money would be used for the security forces loyal to him to bolster him in the Israeli-Palestinian peace process. Somali and Ethiopian troops plan to launch a major assault on the last Islamic militia stronghold in Somalia. U.S. naval ships are patrolling the coast to prevent the Muslim militiamen from fleeing. ABC News reports that North Korea appears to be getting ready to conduct another nuclear test. Today, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice warned that the North would face further isolation if it did. Meanwhile, her South Korean counterpart denied there was any indication Pyongyang was preparing for another test. You're listening to QNN.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Federal government health officials warn that young women are experiencing a drop in folate in their blood levels. This development could cause increased birth defects. It may be attributed to the popularity of low-carb diets, which are low on the B vitamin. In December, consumer electronics retailers Best Buy and Circuit City reported strong sales. Flat panel televisions, digital cameras, and notebook computers were popular. As sales of CDs continue to decline, Nielsen SoundScan reports that online music purchases continue to grow. For the second year in a row, more than 1 billion units, that includes singles, music videos, and digital tracks, were bought. Last month, 167,000 jobs were added, according to the Labor Department. That was significantly higher than analysts had forecast. The unemployment rate stands at 4.5%. According to Money Magazine, the best jobs in the U.S. are software engineer, college professor, financial advisor, human resources manager, and physician assistant. The occupations were ranked based on average salary, 10-year job growth, and average annual job openings. And the chief executive of General Motors said his company will forcefully defend its number one title against rival Toyota. Light sweet crude trading at $56.31 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange, and near the close of Wall Street this week, the Dow is down 84 points at 12,396, NASDAQ down 19, and the S&P 500 is down 9. There's always more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Allie Bramoff.
This is a top to you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie, John Fox.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard. Welcome aboard another edition of Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, where we turn conversation radio into conservation radio. Well, hey, we got lots today. We've got lots today. Sorry we weren't on air yesterday. A little bit of, shall we say, a crook producer made things a little dicey yesterday, so we decided to take the day off. But we're back in live here to wrap out the week. I don't rap. Anyway. let's see. What are we doing? We got heaps. And we got a bit of fun for the track of the day today. I decided we should swing the week out, but we'll get there a little bit later. But I got to open up with this cuz I mean, anyone who pays attention already knew this, but it's always good to see it in the mainstream media. On Yahoo News, we have out of Washington, ExxonMobil paid to mislead the public. Big surprise. it says here, ExxonMobil Corporation gave $60 million to 43 ideological groups between 1998 and 2005 in a coordinated effort to mislead the public by discrediting the science behind global warming, the Union of Concerned Scientists asserted Wednesday. The report by science-based nonprofit advocacy group mirrors similar claims by Britain's leading scientific academy last September. The Royal Society wrote, the oil company asking it to halt support for groups that misrepresented the science of climate change. Haha, misrepresented the science. ExxonMobil did not immediately respond to requests for comment on the scientific advocacy group's report. Funny that. Many scientists say accumulating carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases from tailpipes and smokestacks are warming the atmosphere like a greenhouse, melting Arctic sea ice, alpine glaciers, and disturbing the lives of animals and plants. ExxonMobil lists on its website nearly $133 million in 2005 contributions globally, including $6.8 million in public information and policy research. Distributed to more than 140 think tanks, universities, foundations, associations, and other groups. Some of those have publicly disputed the link between greenhouse gas emissions and global warming. And if you look into most of these groups, you'll find that that they are the same exact people who, back in the 90s when the tobacco hearings were going on, were the people out there discrediting the science of smoking causes cancer. The same exact people. So, they were well discredited, and these guys get up there, create their little foundations, and say, "Hi, I'm a scientist, and I say this." None of the stuff's peer reported. Continues on, it says, but in September, the company said in response to the Royal Society that it funded groups which research, quote, significant policy issues and promote informed discussion on issues of direct relevance to the company, unquote. It said the groups do not speak for the company. Alden Mayer, the Union of Concerned Scientists Strategy and Policy Director, said in a teleconference that ExxonMobil based its tactics on those of tobacco companies, see, spreading uncertainty by misrepresenting peer-reviewed scientific studies and cherry-picking facts. Dr. James McCarthy, a professor at Harvard University, said the company has sought to create an illusion of a vigorous debate about global warming. So, you know, if you had any doubts that Exxon was denying the truth, I mean, you know, there's a song lyric somewhere talking about the PBS special brought to you by Environmentally Safe Gases and Exxon. And these people have such a profit interest that they will spend, what is this, $133 million. And this is coming from an industry that sometime last year their profits were so high they didn't even know where they could put the cash, to lying to the global population about the damage that they do. I just find this appalling. But it's something that we knew. I mean, I don't remember the exact figures, but after the Exxon Valdez, there was something like 10 times as much money paid in advertisements about the cleanup than money spent on the actual cleanup. Okay? Which, that whole area is still a mess. It was never properly cleaned up. You know, so Dawn dishwashing detergent gets to go out there and say, "We cleaned penguins!" And ExxonMobil goes around saying, you know, "See what we've done, see what we've done, see what we've done. We took pictures and everything. And now we're spending 10 times as much money to tell you how good we are." Anyone who's constantly wanting to tell you how wonderful they are, especially when it comes to a corporation, "We're so good, we're so wonderful, we're just beautiful, we're green people," it's all garbage. And before we head out to the first break, I was watching some of the footage on C-SPAN yesterday of the first day of the new Congress, and the image of Nancy Pelosi surrounded by, what is it, her 13 grandchildren up at the podium was just a beautiful sight to see. I thought that was just a great way of making a statement without having to say a word. And I'm not sure if it was a little bit later after the official proceedings were over, there were a few congressmen having discussions on green issues, and I was really, really excited to see that. I'm not sure where the rest of the Congress was at the time. I couldn't see them in the camera shot, but they were discussing what needs to be done. And the fact that subsidies need to be moved from the gas and oil and petrol and coal industries and put into renewables, greens, plug-in hybrids, the whole kit and caboodle. And they were also talking about plug-in hybrids as being very, very exciting news because they're becoming a real reality. So we're coming up on 15 minutes after the hour, 15 minutes after the hour. We're going to come back, do a little bit more green news. I got a couple of things about how Australia is the single hardest hit place on the planet by climate change. And we'll come back and do our track of the day. We're gonna swing out into the weekend with Mr. Frank Bennett, and I'll explain exactly who he is after we get back. So, folks, you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network out of our wonderful studios in West Virginia. You can dial into the program by ringing 1-877-443-2-3-X or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, and we will see you after these messages.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
It must have been prayer meeting with Reverend Brother Bob.
See, hey, Peter, welcome to the program.
You absolutely know that you cannot mention Robert Sunday without conjuring me. This is the known fact.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Well, sometimes I do it on purpose.
You know, the thing that kills me, you know, God just continues to punk Robertson. after time, and it goes back for years, you know. Let's just talk a minute about his business venture. From 91 to 94, he was involved in something called Calo Vita, and it was a multi-level marketing company that breathed that pyramid scheme.
Yeah, like Amway.
Sold beauty products and healthcare products. Oh, they had a product called Sea of Galilee Mud Mask.
No, they did not.
Oh, yes, thank you.
You no.
Bob, as a heart attack, I'm serious.
Sea of Galilee Mud Mask?
Oh, yes, it was part of the product line.
Prayer meeting edition of Head On with Bob Kincaid, Wednesday nights, 6 to 9 p.m. here on the Head On Radio Network.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Stuff here on the Head On Radio Network. And that was, of course, the Choir Boys, just a great Australian rock and roll band. Okay, moving on. And I had one of my displays on my computer decide to give up the ghost right before we went on, so I'm stumbling around slightly with one monitor. I feel like a very spoiled child after having had, you know, two big fat displays for all this time, and I'm struggling with such little real estate, but we'll get by. This link should be on today's show post, along with many others, from ABC News Online, as in the Australian ABC, at abc.net.au. There's a new report saying that this island nation in which I reside on is taking the wallop on climate change pretty much worse than anybody. It says here, Australia is suffering more from the impacts of global warming than any other country. That is the view of the Bureau of Meteorology, which today published, I think this was yesterday, its climate statement for 2006, a summary of last year's weather conditions. It reveals an unprecedented rise of extreme weather events in which, say, is a sign of things to come. The report describes last year's weather conditions as highly unusual and unprecedented in many areas. The Weather Bureau's Neil Plummer says there is nothing similar in recorded weather history. Some of the climactic conditions we've seen in Australia were unprecedented in the records we've got. We've got records that go back to 1900, he said. Rainfall in some parts of the tropical north was the highest on record, while in the south, many areas got their lowest as the drought continues to worsen. Former head of the CSIRO, which is our kind of, big scientific research outfit, their climate modeling program, Barry Hunt, says things used to be the opposite. About 1900 to 1950, there was a drying trend in the northwest of Australia and a wetting trend in the southeast, he said. About 1950, that changed. But the real concern is about how much warmer Australia's weather is getting. By the year 2005 was the hottest year on record, and last year was not far behind. So what we had in 2006 was the 11th warmest year, and is consistent with a warming trend we had in Australia, but in many other parts of the globe. But where global temperatures have risen between 0.7 and 0.8 of a degree Celsius over the century or so, Australia has risen by 0.9. In fact, if we look at the 10 hottest years for Australia, 15 of those have occurred since 1980, and only two of those hottest years have occurred before 1950. It says there is a suggestion that there is an enhanced greenhouse effect on those temperatures. But Mr. Hunt says while Australia's climate is getting warmer, extreme variations in rainfall, cyclones in the north, drought in the south, are not permanent. Weather conditions around the country today are an example of what is happening. Cyclone Isabel crossed the northern coast of Western Australia, bringing massive amounts of rain, while in Adelaide, level 3 water restrictions were announced. And there was more extreme weather in southeast Queensland, with extensive rain causing local flooding and very unseasonal fog shrouding much of the state's capital. So, you know, and I'll never forget when I moved here. And I got off the plane, and I could feel this very light stinging on my skin, and I suddenly had all doubts about the hole in the ozone layer just wiped right away from my brain. I had never felt such a thing in my life, and now I'm accustomed to it. I don't notice it anymore, but for the first few weeks that I was here, you go outside, and it just felt like this really, really light pins kind of poking at your arms. So I'm not surprised that Australia is feeling the effects worse than any other place, because if you were down here, you'd see it, you'd feel it. I've never felt sun so strong in my life, and you know, I lived in Tucson, Arizona, in the Saguaro Desert for a while, and never felt anything like I've felt here. However, things have improved. I don't know if I'd be able to sense them as far as the hole itself, and that's because we did take action in the 70s over hydrofluorocarbons, which were the thing that was really causing the degradation and creating the hole, and causing it to expand. And until it started shrinking, the hole actually, an open part of the hole was actually over the southern area of the continent of Australia. That is how big the thing was. And I do believe it's actually finally shrunk back enough to where it's gone past the coastline, but still, melanoma is the national cancer in this country. It's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. And you're right, Agnes, the outback is brutal. I have yet to make it actually into the dead red center of this country, but I've been far enough inland and trips to Melbourne, where you have to go through Canberra and you really get into some of the outback areas of New South Wales. And I'm telling you, you don't know summer heat until you've been to Australia. And I thought the Sahara Desert was something. This is something else entirely. But what's interesting is, if you're not born in this country and you come, your risks of melanoma are far less. What they're finding is it's Anglo-descended people who are born here, and most of it is the effects in the first 2 years. I lost a friend of mine a couple of years ago to melanoma, and this guy spent most of his life indoors. He was a guitar technician. But probably when he was a kid, he had exposure, and you know, he was of Irish descent, and these are the folks that are really getting hit hard. So, you know, you can be of the same descent but be born, you know, somewhere, you know, elsewhere than here, and the instances of melanoma are dramatically, dramatically less. But, okay, enough of that stuff. Time to set up the track of the day. Okay, for those of you that have been listening to this program for a while, since it's been on, from time to time you will have caught a swing version of Radiohead's Creep. And this is done by a guy by the name of Frank Bennett, taking half of his stage name from Tony Bennett and half of it from Frank Sinatra. And he has... Anyway, we're going to get straight to this. Just to swing out the weekend, it's a short track. What we're doing here is... Oh, bloody hell, I forgot the name of the bloody track. Agnes! Which one did I pick? Anyway, Frank Bennett takes just great rock and roll cover songs. Thank you very much. And this is him doing Pearl Jam's Better Man. So everybody get up and swing! Hit it, Agnes.
Waiting, watching the clock. It's 4 o'clock. It's got to stop. Tell him, take no more. She practices her speech as he opens the door. She rolls over, pretends to sleep as he looks her over. She lies and says she's in love with him. She dreams in color, she dreams in red. There's no one else who needs to know. Tells herself memories when she was smooth as stone. Waiting for the world to come along. Swears she knew him. Now she swears he's gone. She lies and says she's in love with him. Fine.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WBYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. I hope everybody got up and had a bit of a swing there, Mr. Frank Bennett. And I'm telling you, I've done a couple of gigs with the guy, and big band, awesome band, and just so much fun. And just guy's got a great sense of humor and has this great persona that he puts on. But enough about that. You can check him out at Frank Bennett, 2Ns2Ts.com. And on the line right now, we have a good friend who I have not spoken to in ages. Wayne, how you going, mate? Welcome to the show.
And thank you, mate. And, hey, Happy New Year to you, man. I'm really glad to talk to you.
Ah, thank you, thank you. Happy New Year to you, sir. Happy New Year to you. We're hoping that we're going to make some changes this year. Yesterday was a nice nice sign with the new Congress.
Yes, it was. And, well, locally here, too, in West Virginia, you know, we made a, we did very, very well in these elections. We have a new speaker who was supported by labor, and he's a trial lawyer, no less. And,
hey.
Things are, I'm going to tell you what, I'm very, very optimistic, and I'm very excited about, you know, John, I say this all the time, man, and, you know, it's up to us now. We have to hold these people's feet to the fire. We have to tell them what they want. And we have to tell them if we don't get what they want, they won't be there in 2008. We're still going to have a Democratic majority, but it may not be you. And We have to bring that, well, we have to confront these. These people are our representatives.
Absolutely.
They're supposed to represent what we want. And we want out of this damn war, and we
yeah.
want investigations to begin. And if you could tell me, after you do some of these investigations, that there are not grounds to impeach this whole damn administration, I'll kiss your butt. I'll come to Australia and kiss your butt if you could tell me that after these investigations. How's that?
I'd love to be a person, Wayne, but that's not exactly the circumstances that I was looking for.
Okay.
You are absolutely right, and I've actually been catching some of the video clips of John Edwards as he's been going around launching his campaign, and he's talking about the fact that we can't wait till 2008. The idea that the American people have to hold their government, accountable now. And
right
I think that
moment.
That goes, yeah, and we can't
on.
And we can't, yeah, and I mean I was really happy that yesterday they launched things off in the Congress with the vote on ethics, which I thought was fantastic. I love the idea that they set out there that they are going to work a 5-day work week.
Yeah, my
as opposed
God, isn't
to,
that unreasonable? Jeez. Can you imagine?
You know, they completely. They keep thinking that unions are going to get in the way of, you know, hard-working people. It's like, well, at least the unions will guarantee that you're going to get a 38-hour work week. Look at these guys. These guys don't have any kind of agreement set out whatsoever, and they go off and do nothing.
Listen,
you know, I can't believe that we actually...
Union people, buddy, you know, that guy out there has hired you. If you ain't willing to go out there and give him 8 hours of your best, I don't need you. And I won't
yeah.
represent you if you fail that. And, you know, that's just all there is to it.
Hey, Wayne, have you heard the rumblings about the start of the first global union that's been out in the last few days?
No, sir, I have not. But it's
okay. I'm going to look back. I meant to cover it last week, and a couple of the European unions, and I believe one of the auto unions in the United States are starting to loosely band together for an international workers' union looking at issues of, you know, social justice, worker rights, international living standards, stuff that you and I have talked about at great length on the old show, where, you know, if we actually had, this might be the first step in that concept of having an international working, you know, living standard, and that would end up probably having the simple result of having more domestic jobs stay domestic in all countries, which would end up benefiting every nation individually
domestic
on its own because
yeah, that would provide a living wage and
yeah
and pension
and so then if you know the folks in China are earning something that's guaranteed to be on par with the United States and other nations, it's not going to be so economically tempting for the corporates to go running overseas to get cheaper labor if it would
well,
be
that,
almost
exactly
better
right,
for them
which
to
is the reason that we have to change all our so-called free trade agreements. You know, those agreements have to be, you know, it should be fair trade. Those agreements have to carry labor and wage standards, and you know, people have to be able to bargain collectively. Yeah.
Absolutely, and the flip side of the other side of those agreements as well is that there's an environmental factor involved. Those agreements are allowing rich nations like the United States to export their pollution to other nations via these agreements as well. It's kind of like a something
aren't
that's not
totally
focused on as much.
Unbelievable, John. I mean,
oh, well,
they come up with.
No, well, here in Australia, we're signing free trade deals with every Asian nation we can get our hands on, and all I can think is that it's going to be to the detriment of the working people in all countries involved.
That is their plan. That is their plan, and that's why, you know, we have such an opportunity to do things here. The most important, talking about your, you know, what would lead to your one union thing, in the United States, the most important thing we have to do is pass the Employees Free Choice Act, which takes away the NLRB elections and replaces it with a card check system. if you get 51%, a majority of the employees of a certain company, location, whatever, to sign cards, the NLRB then's only authority is to prove that these are, in fact, you know, legal cards. And then
right.
The
okay, I've just been... sorry. Please finish.
Then, at that point, the company has 90 days to come to an agreement. If this law is passed, you would see union membership in the United States double and then quadruple and go on for there. There, you know,
well,
there, I mean, there's... Go ahead, John.
I told you about the workplace agreements that were put in place here, which basically killed overtime pay, you know, loadings,
yeah, your
regular days.
Followed the same thing that we did. We did.
Oh yeah, union membership has almost doubled since this happened.
Is that correct?
And
that's very
yeah.
Hurt.
Well, yeah, because you know people who you know. Used to know what their schedules were. I mean, there are serious situations where, you know, hardworking families, you know, someone can get a call from their boss now saying, you know, yeah, I know it's Saturday night and this is your scheduled day off and I don't care if your husband's doing his job. If you don't come into work, you're fired. And they're allowed to do it. And they've basically pulled all the guts out of our conflict resolution system and have sided it completely with the corporations. And I think this is probably one of the main reasons why in the polling here, labor is making great gains. And it's twofold. One, we have a new labor leader whose second in command has taken on the industrial relations portfolio. And she's a tough cookie and she knows what she's on about. And since labor has finally gotten some real leadership, right now, if you did polling, if the election were taken today, labor would win, and we'd have Kevin Rudd as our prime minister, which would be a completely different kettle of fish. I think we would see these workplace agreements not necessarily be abolished, because one of the tricks of the Howard government is that they change things so much that they set it up to be a disaster if you undo it.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's all part of their plan, you know. Here, George Bush likes to, what do they do to law? They define the laws. You know, they fix them for you. So here's what it really meant, you know.
Here, in opposite words.
Well, I mean, they did that with the overtime laws. You know, I mean, refine isn't the statement that they use. What the heck did they use? You know,
they make
it simpler or something like that. And, you know, my proposal to them here, I'll make it simple. Instead of being, you know, I don't know, 280 pages, let's make one page that says if you work over 40 hours a week, you get paid time and a half. I don't give a damn who you are.
Right.
That's a pretty simple law, isn't it? You don't need a bank of lawyers. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I think it'd save money in the long run.
Well, there's actually that international union story is actually up
okay.
at the Head On Radio Network site, and so if you have a look, there's a link just a couple down about global super union within a decade, says Amicus Chief. So that's something that you might be interested in having a look at.
Well, I'm going to go there and look. I know some guys that are associated with that thing.
So, right on. Maybe you can get us some inside information.
Hey,
that'd be great.
You never know, brother. John, it's really good talking to you, buddy. Happy New Year's, and, you know, I'm going to tell you what, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better.
Absolutely, man. With people like you fighting for the working man, it's got to get better. So, man, it's so good to hear from you. You take care of yourself,
well,
buddy.
Well, listen, keep listening. I'm going to tell a very interesting story on Bob Kincaid.
I'll be tied to my computer, man.
That flag, what is it? What would you call him?
What was this?
The flag something station. What do they call that?
The flagship station.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I knew you.
You'll be on the
radio.
You'll be on the flagship show of the Horn.
That's what it is. Okay, there you go.
All right, mate. You have a good one. We're going to hit out on this break, and I got to wrap things up for the day. So great to talk to you.
Okay, man. Talk to you later, brother. Bye.
All right. Man, Brother Wayne, these are the kind of people that go out there and really, really look out for the worker, you know. And, you know, remember that the worker is you. You know, it's not some special interest group. The worker is you. And I've just been informed that our bloggers are about to repost that super union, global union story at the top of the Horn, so you can find it. These are the kind of things that I think need to happen. And you look at the mission that Sarge and these folks are getting ready to do to Jackson County. This is, I think, the new version of people power, coming from the grassroots and not waiting for the corporates and the government to get off their duffs and do the right thing. The people are taking the power into their own. So that, this is all really, really powerful stuff. So, all right, we're going to go and grab this last break for the afternoon, the evening, the morning, depending on where you reside on this beautiful blue marble of ours. And you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back after this break.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, the quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great, and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Go get him, Angry Anderson. Anyway, I just love music, folks, and that's why we changed the closer song for this show, Music and Politics. I reckon that sums this guy up real well. Before we run out of time today, I thought this was kind of interesting. Via the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday, pardon me, India's Prime Minister slams the West on environment. Slamming the West for its, quote, environmentally wasteful lifestyle, unquote, Indian Prime Minister Manmohan Singh, called for industrialized nations to look at alternative energy sources to save the environment. He says, we in the developing world cannot afford to ape the West in terms of its environmentally wasteful style. He said at a science conference in Chatham, Baram. Sorry, these are sometimes, you know, I should really look these things up. 195 Ks south of Tamil Nadu's state capital, Chennai. Equally developed industrial economies must realize that they too must alter their consumption patterns so that few do not draw upon so much of the Earth's resources. Experts say the progressive use of primary energy sources such as coal and subsequent unchecked carbon emissions could see temperatures rise by 2 to 3 degrees Celsius in the next 50 years. According to the UN Climate Change Secretariat, the top five sources of greenhouse gases are the United States, China, Russia, India, and Japan. Experts say as global emissions rise, the Indian subcontinent will be one of the world's regions most seriously affected by climate change, meaning more frequent and more severe floods and droughts, more disease, and more crop yields. Hello, business. This will affect your profitability. Hello, 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 Bueller. It says, we have invested billions of rupees in developing a range of energy sources, be it hydropower, thermal, or nuclear power. We have to improve the productivity of investments already made. New environmentally friendly technologies being developed to cut carbon emissions must be shared and made available to all so that the planet could be saved, he said. A bit of sanity. And he's absolutely right, you know. Yes, developing nations have a concern in this, and they have catching up to do as well. But they are not the ones that created the mess, and they're not the ones that have all the profits from that mess in which to invest in cleaning up that mess. And this goes into what they talk about in economics as externalities, those costs that they believe, like ExxonMobil and other people, Monsanto, the list is endless, that their environmental damage is someone else's concern. And this is, again, one of these very, very basic thought processes that needs to be altered. You know, you can talk to various economists, and some of them won't even recognize the term externality. It's the, you know, very kind of Orwellian that, you know, it doesn't exist. These things don't exist. They're not real. Well, you know, it's real, baby. It's real. I can tell you. The country I live in is burning up as we speak, and there was modeling done not long ago. I don't know if I covered this when it came out, that they reckon at the end of this century, Australia will no longer have a bushfire problem, because by 2070, the increase in bushfires will be so severe and so reoccurring that the forest will not be able to regenerate in time. So by the year 2100, this nation will be completely and utterly burnt out with no fuel in which to feed the destructive fires. That's where we're headed. And this is why it's so crucial that we take responsibility for what we do. And on that line, just again, before we run out of time, at treehugger.com, I don't have the link up in front of me at the moment. There's a really good piece, and I do believe I got this link into the post today, about the fact, about your cell phone is an environmental issue, and they speak about the simple fact that the manufacturer is probably 40% of the environmental damage. That it's the etching of the printed circuit boards and things like that, and the actual processing chips are also a huge factor. So the average life of a mobile phone these days is 12 months. If you were to stretch out the life of your mobile phone to 4 years, which you could, it's only marketing that makes you feel like you have to ditch the old technology for new technology that only just gets your phone call to you in a more colorful and media exciting environment. This story is linked, I've just been told by Susan that it's linked under bonus post. And so, you know, these are the things that all this stuff, I reckon that every decision that you make in your daily life is not only a political one, but an environmental one. And this is where we need to really kind of put our minds in a place where we think about the impact of every single thing that we do. So, it's on us, and it's on us to make sure that our leaders really put this stuff forward. And I saw really nice signs of it yesterday on C-SPAN. I just wish it hadn't been three Democrats, what looked like they were all by their lonesome, sitting there having a bit of a chin wag about the stuff that they've already done in their local communities. But, you know, it goes down to the House record, and it's got to start the debate. And one of the key things they talked about was moving all this financial subsidy that goes to the oil and gas industry into renewables. And to me, this is not hard yakka, as they say here in Australia. This isn't a hard thing to understand. So we're about to run out of time here. So, as usual, the credits, run through them real quick. Ben Birch at White Rose, he's doing a fundraiser again, folks, so you got to go over there. Now is the time to go over and skip the movies this week, or eat at home, skip that meal out, because if you dig the programming that you get here and all the other progressive programming that he streams and archives, you got to go and do the right thing. So he's got his goal that he does. Usually every quarter to 6 months, and the last bit of funding lasted far longer than he expected, which is really good. He's such a frugal and efficient man. And of course, to the carpenters who make everything on this network possible, B1 Ladder Productions for the music, our mods, our bloggers, and of course my producer, who is doing much better today. Thank you, Agnes. You rock. You do a great job. So it's the end of another week, folks. Stick around. It sounds like Union Man Wayne's got something big on Bob Kincaid's show coming up next. And, until we do this thing next week, be good, be green, and we'll see you next week.
If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that sometimes it's easier to desire and pursue the attention and admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns, rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's f***. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about
music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that I pooped in my own dog dish.
This is the Quality News Network. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid are sending a letter to President Bush criticizing his impending decision to send more troops to Iraq and urging him instead to consider a phased redeployment strategy. A Republican lawmaker says half of the major terrorists the U.S. government are looking for have already been caught and released. Representative Heather Wilson from New Mexico says al-Qaeda is working with the U.S. government and that at least one senior official has pictures of the terrorists after they were captured the first time. President Bush is preparing to announce a change in Iraq war strategy. He's made changes to important positions in his administration, is replacing the top two generals and ambassador in Iraq, and today is meeting with key lawmakers. In Washington, President Bush today nominated John Negroponte to be second in command at the State Department. He also nominated retired Admiral Mike McConnell to replace Negroponte as intelligence director. Congress must confirm both men. In Washington, the House today adopted legislation prohibiting lawmakers from accepting meals and gifts from lobbyists or flying on corporate jets. The bill passed 430-1. The House seems to have bipartisan support for a ruling that requires legislators to put their names on funding projects they insert into spending bills. The new rule is designed to prevent the kind of pork barrel scandals that have recently plagued Congress. Another storm is on its way to the Plains states. Officials say it may hamper search and rescue efforts for people and livestock trapped in heavy snow. Colorado's governor has asked for federal assistance to continue dropping food and water to livestock. In Alabama, Georgia, and Louisiana, severe storm warnings continue today. Yesterday, two people were killed when a tornado hit their trailer park in Louisiana. In news around the world, in Baghdad, a prominent Sunni Arab group, the Association of Muslim Scholars, accused officials in the Shiite-led government of having links to Shiite militias, which are involved with sectarian violence. Also in Iraq, a U.S. soldier was killed yesterday in a gun battle in western Baghdad. His death brings the total of U.S. forces killed in Iraq to 3,006. In Indonesia, officials say the pilot of the 7th